It has been interesting to work with these particular Bible passages this week while the internet has been on fire over what people do and do not hear. And for those of you who have managed to stay out of this debate, there is this audio clip that has been circulating throughout the internet. It's just a single word, and it is spoken by a computer, and people have been arguing passionately over whether the word is Laurel or Yanni. Far too many people have wasted far too much time on this issue, especially because it is so obviously Laurel. In this instance, there is no question that there is one definitive, correct answer. And meanwhile, we have today's readings that feature a whole bunch of words and lift up all the many different things to hear. These two texts about language and cultural differences bring a couple of quotes to my mind. One is from Haley's great-grandfather, her papa, who lived in East Texas. And one day, so the story goes, while in one of his more philosophical moods, Haley's papa pondered aloud, "I'm sure glad I wasn't born in Mexico, because I don't speak a lick of Spanish." Yeah, just let it wash over you. And then the other pearl of wisdom comes from an even less likely place, a Kevin Costner movie. And it's from one of my all-time favorites, which is Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. I rewatched it this week. It's about as British as I got this weekend. And Kevin Costner's okay in it, but everyone else is phenomenal. Alan Rickman as the Sheriff of Nottingham is worth the price of admission alone. But the best line in the whole thing comes from one of Robin Hood's best friends, a man named Azim, played by Morgan Freeman. Azim stands out a bit from the rest of Robin Hood's merry men. Even if you haven't seen this movie, you can still picture how that might be the case, how a dark-skinned Muslim warrior might stick out a bit in the middle of the English countryside around 1200 AD. And Azim certainly does. He looks and acts differently than all of his new English, pasty Christian friends. And at a bonfire party in Sherwood Forest, a little girl approaches Azim full of curiosity. She's never seen Morgan Freeman before, or any person of color. And hesitantly, she asks Azim, "Did God paint you?" To which Azim patiently says, "Did God paint me?" "Most certainly." And she asks him why. And how he responds, I think, is one of the best theological statements from any Kevin Costner movie. "Because Allah loves wondrous variety." Because God loves variety. It is from the mouth of a fictional Muslim character in a 90s-era production, but it is a statement in total concert with the Hebrew Bible and with our New Testament, and to me is self-evident throughout all of nature, that God relishes diversity. To think the one who made us also sculpted the lion and the blue whale and the porcupine, or as Anna Case Winters put it in Sunday school this morning, the beluga and the butterfly, or all the freaky things in Australia. I mean, the platypus, for crying out loud. The same God composed the different seasons of the year and crafted the endless array of different tastes and smells we get to experience. And the same God, whom we are told makes promises through things like many colored rainbows, fashioned all these marvels with this incalculable imagination and care, and has done so very much on purpose. And that God calls all these things good, especially people and all of our diversity. And that is so much of what the story of Pentecost is. It is an affirmation of diversity. It is also the moment that the church has long thought of as its birth date. The time is 50 days after the resurrection, right? 50, Pentecost. And it's now 50 days after Jesus has risen from the grave, and his friends are all gathered together under one roof, and they're nervous or scared, confused, after being told by the resurrected Lord to wait for something really big to happen. And then it does. The Holy Spirit rushes in, breaks into their midst like a great wind, and it emboldens Christ's followers and empowers them to take the good news of God's love that they have received and to spread it to the far corners of the earth. And it also gives them the miraculous ability to share that good news with every person of every nation speaking every different tongue. So this is the moment when the church begins to just spread out and grow like crazy. Pentecost is a new day. It's a beginning. And as with any beginning, I feel like statements are being made here. Think of the opening scene of a play or a movie, a president's first act, wedding vows, what to wear on the first day of school. The tone is being set. And at least one statement being made by the essence of this language miracle is God's blessing upon our differences. When you consider that the miracle is not that the world will be able to magically understand and speak the one language of the apostles. It's the apostles who now speak all the many other languages to reach out to the rest of humanity in all of its variant forms. God chooses here to use not certain Greek or Aramaic or Hebrew or English words, but all words. And with that fact, the church is born as this vibrant, raucous, colorful, diverse, beautiful thing. But we've heard this all before. This is an age-old lesson. A reiteration of something we have heard since the beginning of humankind. Our oldest stories speak to this. Look at the book of Genesis, the creation stories. The fact that there are two creation stories that are preserved there, and yet both celebrate all the different things in the world. Look at Noah a few chapters later in the ark, filled with every kind of animal. And then a few chapters after that, for me, one of the most vivid stories that demonstrates this value is actually the Tower of Babel. And when I was growing up, I remember being told the story of Babel, and it was an interpretation all about punishment, right? People had become cocky. They wanted to build this great big tower that reached to the heavens to prove how great they were, and God looked upon their great big tower and their arrogance. And God makes like Godzilla and breaks their tower and then garbles the way we all talk. And that's a long-standing, commonplace take on Babel. And in it, the different languages are a form of a curse, right? But I think a far more interesting take on Babel, and I think a more thoughtful one, sees all the different languages that God imparts not as a curse, but as a gift. So there's a theologian out of Peru who teaches at Notre Dame named Gustavo Gutierrez, who articulates this idea best by pointing back in time and helping us remember that as we look at this story, that in the ancient world, massive building projects simply weren't accomplished without breaking a few occupational regulations. Meaning all the really big, tall, impressive stuff was constructed through oppression and slave labor. Until quite recently, in fact, many of the world's great feats of architecture were built through unscrupulous means, but especially in the ancient world. You know, all of the breathtaking structures in Rome, they weren't built in a day, right? They were built over centuries. Centuries of slave labor. The Great Wall of China, during one period of its construction, it was called the longest graveyard. Because so many people, the impoverished and the prisoners of war who were forced to build it, died due to the terrible conditions and the cruelty. An amazing structure that you can see from space. Millions of people died building that. So you keep those facts in mind, and Babel is possibly a similar picture, right? A massive construction project, in all likelihood built on the backs of innocents and the oppressed that were subject to a dominant empire. And then Gutierrez also reminds us that throughout history, one of the most successful weapons of oppressive empires is to impose a single culture, cemented by a single language. Alexander the Great's empire in the 300s BC, one of the greatest in Western history, used what we call Hellenization, the spreading of Greek culture, Greek currency, and the Greek language. It's why there's a shift in the Bible's original languages from Hebrew to Greek between the Old and New Testament. Because Alexander the Great had conquered that region in between their writings and demanded everyone speak and write in the same common tongue. And you do that as an emperor, I believe. You do that to promote your way of life and because it's easier to order people around and extort them and tax them when they understand what you're saying and how much they owe. So hundreds or thousands of years earlier, whenever Babel supposedly takes place, it would have been much easier to build this giant skyscraper on the backs of slaves if the slaves understand how many bricks you need, how to make them, and with what you're threatening them if they don't do as they're told. So when God intervenes at Babel and makes everyone start babbling in different languages, this isn't a curse at all. It's an act of love. It's liberation. Because by confusing the single language and creating many, God disrupts the dominant empire and brings this giant, unjust, cruel project to a halt. The city at the center of this wickedness is consequently abandoned, and those that were once forced into a singular oppressive culture are now free to scatter about the earth and begin their own society with their own way of doing things and their own way of talking about it. God doesn't just encourage diversity, but uses it. Uses a multiplicity of words to make a miracle happen. To save us. And to be sure, whether you buy that interpretation or not, just look around. God is doing this all the time. The Lord has been cultivating and working through diversity throughout the ages, since day one in the church's case. And this, I think, is worth paying very close attention to. As we, the church today, consider what we are to be about, as we remember our neighbors in this very diverse area of Chicagoland, as we examine and assess our ministries, as we build our hopes for the future, and as we celebrate our past, including this past year. And that's what we're lifting up alongside Pentecost today, right? That though there are many things that we hold in common that bind us together, today we also lift up how even within our small little community, God has taken our different talents, our different views, and our different voices, and used those as well to help construct something valuable and to strengthen this church family. God loves wondrous variety and speaks miracles through it. And may we remember this fact and celebrate it during this next year and all the years to come as we grow and as we bear the loving, wondrous news of Jesus Christ. Amen.